97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. It's a Tuesday morning. It is the 15th day of October. Things are rolling along here. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, today is the deadline if you filed for a tax extension back in April. Today is the day you got to get that thing postmarked to get it in or it's going to be late. Then you're going to get penalized.
I did not know that.
I'm just telling you, just one of those things.
4 plus 6 is 10.
Lodged in my brain. What
you
do you
go,
mean, Carl?
Because April 15th.
Oh, yeah.
Plus 6 months.
Plus 6 months. That would be, that the 15th. Would be today.
That's it's a good. Big deal when we do math here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I know.
Show.
We try
Especially
to avoid
if we
that.
Get it right.
We do try to avoid that whenever possible. Glad to be back. A little long weekend. A little trip down to a college visit for my daughter. And that went very well. So I would be much happier if she's going to go out of state, that it'd only be about 5 hours away, 4 or 5 hours away, than like 10.
And you'd like
that.
Less construction on 55.
Yes, I would.
What is that? What is that drive that you guys took?
It's about 5 hours to Fayetteville. Maybe a little less, maybe a little more, depending on how much traffic and is backed up on 44 getting down there. So anyway.
So 44. What's the next one?
That's a good question. Maybe Alabama. I don't want her to go there, but maybe that's it. Dad will
it's
be
not
working.
Up to you, sir.
Dad will be actively working against that choice, not because of their football or basketball teams, but just because it's too far away.
The preliminary rankings came out yesterday
for the SEC.
No, for college basketball.
Oh, they did. How did I miss that?
You were on vacation.
Oh, that explains it.
You can imagine I did not talk about that.
And I probably won't either this year. Kentucky's ranked, I think, 12th in the SEC. So we'll see how that goes. All right, Carl, thanks for bringing that up.
Uh-huh.
Good job. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the guy they charged for supposedly bringing guns near the Donald Trump rally over the weekend and why he appears to just be some sort of a Donald Trump supporter. As they find out a little bit more about the guy. He's got pictures. He was at the RNC convention. We're going to talk to Aaron Evans about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. The guy's finally speaking out. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk to John Lamping. Take a look at this local race, Senate District 15, which could be the Senate race in the state of Missouri that decides whether or not Republicans maintain a supermajority in the Missouri Senate. Maybe polling is showing this being a lot closer than I would think it is. And we'll talk to John about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Got it in other news as well at about 6:48. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Look at where the stars are in the sky. Don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
Wouldn't it just be great to have that in the White House for 4 years? Just randomly talking about points in the sky and, just growing up in a middle-class family. No matter what the question is, that's the answer.
If everything works out, if everybody gets out and votes on January 5th or before, you know, it used to be you'd have a date. Today you can vote 2 months before, probably 3 months after. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
January 5th, a little misspeak there by Donald Trump as well, which the Harris campaign was having a ball with afterwards, as you can imagine.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Whoa, boy, there was a campaign ad for the wrong person there, Bill Clinton. That's what Donald Trump's been saying. And you know what? He's polling 25 points ahead of her on immigration issues.
A lot of men think Democrats care more about dudes who want to become women than dudes who just want to be dudes.
Well,
and no hunting, cosplay, or cringy videos is going to change it. The bed is made.
Yeah, Scott Jennings there with that one. And he hit that spot on. No cosplay, no dressing up like you're a hunter and acting like you know what you're doing when you go outside with a shotgun that you clearly, first they didn't show him with a shotgun, and then later when the media showed up, they handed him one. and he looked like Elmer Fudd going wabbit hunting. He had the vest, he looked the part, but you just could just tell he really didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Yeah, he looked like he was fumbling around a little bit. And it'd be one thing if he had just said, oh, you know, occasionally I'll go out. But he made it clear, oh, I'm an avid hunter. Oh yeah, I love to pheasant hunt.
It gets better than that. I mean, here's part of the video of him yesterday when he was having trouble loading his gun. Listen.
Yeah. That's my theory. And it never fits quite right.
This is him trying to unload the gun.
Governor, what kind of gun is it?
This is a Beretta A400. I bought it when I was shooting a lot of trap because it has a kind of their patented thing, a kickoff. So when you get old, it doesn't hurt your shoulder as much.
Interesting. And here's what Tim Walz said back in 2020, because you know what's coming up in Minnesota, just the same thing that's coming up in St. Louis, in Illinois, deer season. And Tim Walz has always played the role of a big deer hunter. He loves to enjoy the outdoors and go out and deer hunt. I know he sounds like a Canadian, but listen to Tim Walz. You don't have to go back very far to remember who this guy is. If you've ever been to deer camp, you know what goes on at deer camp and when you go deer hunting. If you're wearing a mask, it's because it's cold outside and you don't want your face and your nose and your mouth to freeze. That's the only reason you would wear a mask at deer camp, unless you lived in Minnesota during COVID.
Many things are different this year amid COVID-19. But Minnesotans can still enjoy the sport of hunting, the Minnesota pastime that for generations has connected us with the outdoors. This year, to keep things safe, just make sure you mask up, stay socially distanced, and hunt in small groups of family or friends you're with. Best of luck for a safe and successful hunt. Minnesota, I'll see you out there.
A duck.
He's the reason why people now, 4 years later, still wear masks outside, driving in their car alone when they're about 100 yards away from the other nearest human being.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to hunt in small groups with family or friends. I know this is back then, but and you're also supposed to mask up. That was what he was trying to say at the time.
Yeah,
that's so ridiculous.
Wear a mask. And now you'll have to cut a hole in it to drink your beer because that's what happens at deer camp.
Remember seeing that where people would cut little holes? Don't you realize you're defeating the purpose of this?
You know, they made drinking masks that already had the little slit in them. But again, it kind of defeats the purpose. And you know nobody in Minnesota was doing that. It's just crazy stuff. Coming up, we'll talk to Aaron Evans. He is a Republican strategist about the guy who was arrested for apparently being accused of trying to assassinate Donald Trump for the third time. He has broken his silence. We'll get to that story for you coming up.
Top six answers on the board. Name something that you keep in your glove compartment. Oh, VP Harris.
Steve, look. Raised in a middle-class family, all right?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, my mother raised my sister and me, mm-hmm. All right? Yeah. She worked hard and saved up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we had a second mother, too.
Okay. Did that mother have a glove compartment?
A small business owner named Miss Shelton.
Okay, we got that. Something that you keep in your glove compartment.
Oh, a Glock, Steve. A big old Glock.
Saturday Night Live. Trying to be funny again. How about that with the story on the Glock this weekend? I'm sitting at a campfire this weekend, just eating dinner. Not a campfire, but around the. We weren't allowed to have a fire because of the ban on burning stuff. But we just finished dinner, and the charcoal was still glowing. Let's put it that way. And we get the news that there'd been maybe another assassination attempt on Donald Trump, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. If this is real, this is a big deal. But now we're finding out more details about this guy, and we've got Aaron Evans on the phone with us this morning, who's a Republican strategist. And Aaron, welcome into the show. How are you?
Hey, great to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you. Thank you very much. What do we know about Vim Miller? I understand this guy that they caught is finally speaking out a little bit about his relationship with the Republican Party and what he thinks is a situation that's kind of been blown out of proportion here.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, it's definitely one of the more more complex stories that's hit recently, and I'm sure there's still more. We'll learn about it over upcoming weeks. But, you know, ultimately, he had, you know, weapons and ammo in his vehicle, had made it through an outside perimeter, apparently disclosed that he had those before he reached the inside perimeter. And there, you know, there were some other items that the sheriff's office is saying that they found that created some red flags. He's denying, you know, so again, some of this stuff will probably be worked out in court. But ultimately, you know, long story short, sheriff of Riverside, California, you know, does pretty fast victory lap. We caught, you know, we stopped a possible assassination attempt. Turns out the guy is now saying, you know, that he's a big Trump supporter. He actually ran as a Republican for office in Nevada, you know, in previous years. He did vote for Obama as well in previous years, classifies himself as libertarian. So, you know, I think there's some definite disagreements between him and law enforcement on what really was found or happened. Yeah. Ultimately, I think the two big things, you know, to take away is they, you know, the police's job is to secure the perimeter to make sure that President Trump is safe and the attendees are safe. And I think they definitely did that. I mean, the fact that he did have guns and ammo, regardless of motive or reason, inside that outside perimeter certainly justified the arrest. Maybe the sheriff did a victory lap a little too fast on making the assumption it was an assassination attempt. But, you know, I think the details will certainly flesh out more as we kind of see it play out there.
You know, only in California. So the guy had a handgun, and they say that he had a high-capacity magazine with him. And you know the people out there on the left are thinking he had, like, a 30-round magazine for an AR-15. He had a Glock handgun. I don't know any Glock that carries fewer than 10 rounds, but in California, that's considered high-capacity, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah, anything that's not an old-school muzzle loader, you know, or something.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, look, I mean, California is certainly off the rails on their left-leaning, you know, laws and ideology. The only thing I would just pivot back to we've had two assassination attempts. You know, historic levels of just kind of threat to the president. And so I think, you know, I mean, I'm a big 2A guy, love to shoot. I wouldn't take a gun to a Trump rally. You know, I mean, I think that's the other side of it, too, where regardless of the amount of bullets, I mean, I think he was justified in being, you know, at least removed and questioned. But again, I think they did the victory lap too fast.
Well, he had a phony press badge, and there were just some other weird things. And I know they're saying he's a sovereign citizen, so maybe that's part of it. But it just seems weird. Like, I agree that maybe the sheriff jumped the gun here. But it also is interesting to me that the feds were so quick, it seems like, to discount it and say, this isn't what you think.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I saw the Secret Service, you know, they've really been kind of putting some distance on it as well, to your point. And so, you know, and I think it's a tough job. I mean, especially, you know, being in law enforcement in a situation like that with the national pressure of already knowing what's happened in the last couple of months.
Right, right.
You know, those guys have to make very quick decisions on, and we saw in Butler what happened when the decisions were too slow and they didn't respond quick enough and they didn't take things serious enough. And so I think, you know, they're certainly... The men and women in law enforcement in these positions are under a lot of pressure to get it right, and you only get one chance.
Yeah, it's a great point. Aaron, thank you for your time this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Aaron Evans there is one of the Republican strategists we have on occasion, and good to get him back on again. So, yeah, here's the thing. It wasn't an assassination attempt, it doesn't appear. But the assassination attempts, which are two so far, have completely faded from the mainstream media. I had to go back to like October 5th, 6th or 7th to find their last mention of it. Shocking, isn't it? Not. We're going to be back in just a minute with John Lamping. Stay tuned. Wow, just looking back over the ballot, the sample ballot, you really, really, really need to look at this before you go to the voter booth. Can I just tell you that wherever you are in the sound of my voice, Illinois, Missouri, wherever, the one I'm looking at happens to be from the sample ballot is from St. Louis County. 43 issues on there. Lots of things for you to look at. State, local, national, these propositions, some local propositions. St. Louis County's got three propositions of its own in addition to the six or seven that are on the Missouri statewide ballot. And these are all things you need to understand, or it's going to take you an hour to vote. Like on election day, the lines are going to be super long because a bunch of low-information voters are going to waltz in there and suddenly realize they've got 43 things they've got to figure out. So pay attention, folks. Right now, I want to welcome in former Senator John Lamping to the show. John, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Mark and Kim. I guess I'm going to pack a lunch on election day, maybe bring a thermos and a book or something.
No, because you'll be prepared.
You'll be waiting a while, though, behind people who are not prepared.
That's right.
Right.
Vote early. If you can, go vote early. It opens, I think, the 22nd for no excuse absentee voting. You can just go get it done early, and that way you'll have no excuse on election day.
That's a good idea. Unfortunately, in St. Charles County, there's only one place to vote, and it's like 35 miles from my house, but I think I might still do that.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea. You know, I was listening on my drive back from Arkansas yesterday to parts of the Annie Fry show, and they had Mike Elam on there filling in, and he brought in Scott Faughn and spent a couple segments with him. And even Scott Faughn was focused on this Senate 15 race here in Missouri, John, because that race, which, well, you know, Andrew Koenig held that seat for a long time and has termed out now, could be the if it goes for the Democrats, which I would not have thought was even a possibility, that could flip the supermajority the Republicans have in the Missouri legislature, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the Senate District 15 is kind of Chesterfield and Baldwin, and in the last 25, 30 years, this has been the most Republican, most conservatively held seat. And unfortunately, with the demographic changes that have gone on in St. Louis County, it's the last remaining Republican seat, and it's definitely at risk. So the way the Senate operates is there's 34 state Senate seats, and currently 24 are held by Republicans, and you need 23 to have a supermajority. And why that's important is that with you can override any governor veto. Now, that's not an issue with the Republican governor, but you do have the ability to actually disagree with the governor if you have a supermajority. So we've had the supermajority for since 2008. When I was a senator, I was the 26th senator, but we're going to lose the Columbia seat. Caleb Rowden governed as a Democrat, so guess what? We're getting a Democrat this time around. And it's going to come down to this seat in the 15th. And what's happened is that David Gregory is our nominee. He's a very good nominee. He served in the House. He ran and lost for the auditor's race last time that seat was up. But he's governed while in the House in a very conservative way, which is not necessarily consistent with St. Louis County anymore. And then the Democrats have wisely put up a very strong candidate. His name is Joe Peerless. He's a retired Drury executive in the Drury Hotel family, which, ironically enough, is a very conservative family, huge supporter of Republicans. And with this Amendment 3 initiative on the ballot in St. Louis County being so pro-Amendment 3, there's a lot of warning flags about what's going on in Senate District 15. And so this is one of those times where your listening audience, we often tell them, you know, to bring friends to the polls and get people excited about Republicans. And I operate on the assumption that a big part of your listening audience is already in the right way. This is one of those times where they actually do need to call people. If they have family and friends that live in Baldwin and Chesterfield, contact them to let them know that they have to support David Gregory. Don't believe any of the ads that are out there and support him, because if we don't, we will really risk having lost that supermajority in the Senate.
You mentioned Amendment 3, and we've talked obviously a lot about that. And I have to say, I was really encouraged to see the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, donated some $300,000 to a group that is anti-Amendment 3. And we, you know, we've talked about this too on the show with you about how it's frustrating that all this outside money comes in, pours in from Planned Parenthood and others like it to support things like Amendment 3. But it's like, where's everybody else? Where's the other side? Why is there not more money being funneled to support that?
Well, that was a bold initiative on the part of the Kansas City Chief ownership, you know, that family. And the amount of money was really, that doesn't matter so much as, I mean, there's so much free publicity just because they're the Kansas City Chief owners. And, you know, they, along with their kicker, Butker, you know, have taken a very public stance. And that is very encouraging. But the reality remains is that the pro-Amendment 3 side will outspend the anti 5 or 6 to 1. Most of that money is coming from outside the state, of course. Mm-hmm. It's all part of this big liberal Democratic agenda to get this across the finish line. What I've heard more specifically, though, is that the level of intensity pro side of this initiative is centered in St. Louis. The St. Louis City, St. Louis County is where the pro side is really centered, and that across the rest of the state in more blue areas, there's not as much intensity. So that's kind of political speak for it's closer than people thought it might be. And, you know, I hope that, you know, we're all pushing hard, and a lot of different groups are organized on the anti side. And we hopefully we get a victory ever so small. But again, this is where all across the state, the only race that we can find where Amendment 3 is going to potentially have an impact on the outcome of another race is in Senate District 15.
Yeah, well, something to watch there. I honestly, that's going to be a major upset if David Gregory. I've reached out to him. I'm going to try to get him back on the show between now and Election Day. But we got to get people out there to vote. There's no doubt about that. And on these, you know, these propositions and amendments, I worry. I mean, I was listening to Fawn yesterday talking about some of them. I just don't think people have any idea how long it's going to take them to vote on Election Day, John.
No, that's right. It's going to be a miserable experience. And you know, maybe on some level it'll work to our advantage in that, you know, the amendments are near the end. And as you get through the ballot, some people might just give up and move on. A lot of it's called an undervote when people go in and they just vote for one or two things and leave the rest of the ballot blank. I think we'll probably have a record undervote this year.
Do you have any thoughts on, like, people keep asking about the judges? The Missouri Bar Association is the only group I know that ranks the judges based on feedback from attorneys, but it's rarely bad. I think they've only recommended against retaining a judge once in the last recent memory anyway. But when I look down through there are a couple of these judges who obviously were on the Missouri Supreme Court, right? Bronick and Gooch, who voted in favor of kicking this Amendment 3 off the ballot, right?
Yeah, my concern is that the pro Amendment 3 people will organize around those two names to get them, you know, get them out of office. Is this again, this speaks volumes to the way we do Supreme Court justices is called the Missouri Court Plan. And guess what? The legal community thinks it's the greatest thing in the whole world because it limits the choices the governor gets to make. And then the governor's limited to three choices that essentially the legal community picks. And then they fall back on this. After the first term, then they're on the ballot to reconfirm them. And you and I both know that the opportunity to learn much of anything about any of the attorneys is near impossible.
Right.
But I have heard some rumblings amongst the pro Amendment 3 side that they need to go after the judges that voted to take that off the ballot. And if that ends up happening, I think it's probably too late to organize against it. If that actually ends up happening, maybe that'll be the spark that'll get the General Assembly to figure out a way to get rid of the court plan, though it's very difficult. In my time in office, we tried, and it's one of those things where both Republicans and Democrats come together and say, oh, no, this is wonderful. And it's wonderful because it works for the legal community, not necessarily for the citizens.
Yeah, that's a good point. John, we appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Yep. Former Missouri Senator John Lamping. I keep getting to, hey, did you forget to endorse, to tell us how to vote on the judges? I'm like, generally speaking, I don't know what to tell you because there's no clear, unless you're in the courtroom with them, how do you know? And these attorneys rarely give bad reviews to these judges.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know those two Supreme Court judges need to be retained because they had the common sense to try to remove Amendment 3 from the ballot, and they got overruled. So that was Judge Bronick and Judge Gooch, Ginger Gooch and Kelly Bronick. So I would definitely vote to retain those two, for sure. All right, quick break. We're going to be back with In Other News coming up.
What's happening?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
A new Beatles document called Beatles 64 is produced by Martin Scorsese and directed by David Tedeschi. It's going to chronicle the Beatles' 1964 trip to America. It's going to release on Disney Plus on November 29th, and the film's going to feature never-seen-before footage of the band and their fans during the peak Beatlemania. It's also going to include new interviews with surviving Beatles, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr.
Well, we know one thing. It's going to be too long. Martin Scorsese has anything to do with it.
Yeah, but I loved all 8 hours of Get Back.
Oh,
I loved every minute of it.
I lost interest in it. I got to be honest with you.
It's great.
I liked all the studio stuff. Like, it was fun.
It was interesting for a little while, yeah. and then it got kind of old.
Then you just need to watch the concert on the rooftop.
Yeah.
That is a nice 36 minutes of amazing.
Exactly. If there's a Cliff Notes version of it, I'll watch that. Thank you.
I believe on Disney Plus you can just get the concert.
Okay.
As a choice.
It looks like six new accusers have filed lawsuit against Sean P. Diddy Combs, accusing him of rape, sexual abuse, and sexual assault, with incidents spanning from 1995 to 2021. This was filed by 2 Jane Doe and 4 John Does in New York. The cases include claims of sexual assault of a minor and multiple rapes, some allegedly occurring during Combs' notorious white parties.
And one was 16, mm-hmm. one of the latest accusers.
I thought that was the boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's not going to get out of this. It's like every day it seems more people are coming forward accusing him of whatever the case may be, rape in this case. His trial is what, set for, I think it was May of next year?
He will never make it to that trial. I just don't believe it. There are too
alive?
Many big names.
I was going to say, I don't think he'll be alive come
I'd be
next spring.
He's already complaining about the food, but I would
he
guess.
He has?
Yeah, yeah.
Not up to his standards.
His
he's like, I ordered my steak medium rare. This is medium.
Somebody pointed out that he lost a lot of weight already at the court hearing, and they were complaining that... I mean, he doesn't have his personal chef there to cook for him anymore.
Well, they said he wasn't eating, though, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's scared that, like you're saying, he might be poisoned or something. But how funny is it that we're like, I mean, it's not funny, but we're all like, he's not going to be around in a year. Like, we all expect him to die.
Because Epstein wasn't around very long.
Yeah.
And his list has never come out. There are powerful people that do not
That's
want
crazy.
Those party guest list stories to come out. Who knew what and when did they know it?
Especially potentially leading up to the election. I'm just saying there could be somebody running for office who's on that list.
That'll be delayed till November 6th. But go ahead.
This one's kind of big. We're talking about messed up food. Another Listeria outbreak has occurred. This one is pretty big. It includes Walmart, Publix, Target, Aldi's, Amazon, Trader Joe's, and more. It's pre-cooked meat. It's by a producer called Bruce Pack. And it's like pre-cooked chicken stuff. You might find it in Fresh Express, Rao's, Michelangelo's, Boston Market, Atkins, Dole, Jenny Craig, El Monterey. There is a 326-page document on this if you want to know more about it and
wow.
how big it is. You can go to fsis.gov. F as in Frank, sis.gov. They have everything listed that you're going to need.
Not those little chicken things you bring in, are they, Kim?
No, I was thinking about that. Those are from Costco. I know. I was like, which brand are the? Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Pre-cooked chicken. That's it.
And finally, it looks like Bath & Body Works, they're pulling a seasonal candle from its shelves after complaints that the snowflake design on the label resembled a Ku Klux Klan hood. The design features a white pointed snowflake tips with cutout holes. It led some online to nickname it the Klandle or the KKK handle.
That was clever.
They're saying when you light the candle, it looked like the eyes were glowing in the hood, which was obviously just the snowflake zoomed in.
And some people have it and are reselling it on eBay for $180.
Oh, I saw it was like $300+. Like some
the one
stupid
I saw
amount.
Was $180.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Why are you pricing them out?
I saw it on an article, okay. Carl.
We'll talk more about abortion and the impact it could have on the 2024 election. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.